Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox ships tasty and guilt-free snacks right to your door. With over 100 flavors to choose from, like mini Belgian waffles, you'll never get bored of snacking again. Try NatureBox at naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee free, go to braintreepayments.com/android. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/android and enter promo code Android. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 222, recorded on Tuesday, July 14th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
I'm Ron Richards.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Assemble,
this
unite.
Hot July day.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even stepped outside.
Middle of the summer. It's a scorcher.
All right.
Yesterday in the city, it was pretty hot. So
yeah, it's been kind of a crazy couple of weeks. Although, you know, if we complain about it here in the Bay Area, we don't even hold a candle to pretty much the rest of the country.
Like,
so we have nothing to complain about. Although, Florence, probably in super-duper hot land. Florence Ion of Greenbot and PC World. How's it going over there?
It's hot.
Yeah.
I'm really sweaty, actually. I'm not enjoying it, but I don't want the fan to blow on the microphone. This is our show, so I'll suffer.
Well, that would be a good effect, though. It would be like the flowing hair, as we're talking about the Android, you know, like very model-esque, you know.
Although, you know, if you feel like you're about to pass out because you're too warm in there, don't worry about it. Put the fan on.
We understand.
We have a lot to talk about, as we usually do. And even when we don't, we find something to talk about. We'll be discussing Android M Preview 2 that pushed out a few days ago. Google's take on proximity. We've got Sundar Pichai waxing poetic about phone intrusion. Just a lot of stuff. The Galaxy S6 Active that Florence just wrapped up a review on. Commodore coming to the Android space, and wow, my phone's going nuts now.
That was an intense notification.
That was push bullet. That was the free notification from Craigslist, which still kind of blows me away, by the way. So many free pianos.
You need another hot tub, huh?
A couple of weeks later, and there are still so many free pianos.
Free pianos, free hot tubs. The last time, you wouldn't have learned from last time?
I'm still watching.
Had that mashup of you and Jeff Goldblum?
No, it's probably a good idea for me to stay far away from both of those things. And a whole lot more. Before we get into the news, we just, you know, kind of want to wish Google or Android, I don't know, happy birthday.
Yeah.
10 years ago, a few days ago, Google bought Android Incorporated for $50 million.
Jeez. Do we think that has been a good purchase? Do we think, given the price that things have been selling recently, you know, or valuations and things like that, you know?
Well, 10 years.
So 10 years
ago. 10 years ago, $50 million. I mean, $50 million seems like nothing.
How do we adjust for inflation?
Yeah, exactly.
So 10 years ago.
Jesus, I imagine it probably doesn't adjust that much higher, right?
Let's just find out.
There's got to be an app for
how
that.
Much did YouTube sell for? I forgot. How much did YouTube sell for again?
Is that a billion?
Billion?
Of some sort.
Because I remember YouTube being sales. At a conference, being at like a Web 2.0 conference when that sold, and everyone just
2.0.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody's and everyone's mind being blown by the purchase price.
$1.65 billion in an all stock deal.
Yep.
Close.
So
all stock.
All right. Let's see. So 50 million. How many zeros are in million? 50. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. So
that's
when was it? It was
difficult.
10 years ago. So 2005.
So 2005.
Okay, in 2015 money, that would be...
Wait for it.
$59 million.
Oh my God, that's just ridiculous. That's too much.
So...
Peanuts compared to the mileage that Google has gotten out of Android
yep.
in, in 10 years. Yeah, I know. This VentureBeat article is a lot of fun to go through. It's a real blast from the past.
Yeah, I remember the big functionality was that you could scan a barcode.
Uh-huh.
That was the big thing, yeah.
You guys, that was the phone that replaced my friend's Sidekick.
Yep.
She was a psychic queen, and she kept breaking it. And this is the phone that she got. And I remember seeing it and being like, "Oh, that's so cool! What is that? Is that Android? What is that?"
Yep.
Now let's keep in mind that this phone didn't come out until, I feel like we're always celebrating these anniversaries.
I know.
This phone didn't come out until like 07 or 08.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they bought Android in 05, and then spent all these years developing
working on it.
Yeah. So.
And the 2005 Android versus the Android that we saw at launch are very different, you know, because the touchscreen wasn't, I don't think, a big part of it.
Yeah.
Initially.
Was it running like on a BlackBerry-esque?
It was very different.
So. Oh, that menu, I don't miss it at all.
Oh my God, those bubble forms and all the rounded corners.
But then it's all like telling of the time, right? Like at the time, that looked really good.
Yeah, iOS was like that too, actually.
And, completely. And what we see now is Lollipop looks really good to us now because that is the modern version. Even looking back to something like, you know, Ice Cream Sandwich or Jelly Bean, like you look back at it now and it's like your eyes are now trained to the new.
Yep.
And so because Honeycomb. It's old, it looks less, you know. But yeah, Honeycomb.
Yep.
I was like blown away by Honeycomb, even though historically Honeycomb has been kind of a laughing.
It was a clunker, but yeah, I remember Honeycomb had the lines, like that's where we got
the thin and kind of the Tron quality to it.
Oh, it was so Tron. And even like came out when Tron came out. Oh, mm-hmm. There's a theme that year.
Yeah,
totally. Which I really like that Tron movie, by the way. I think that gets a bad rap. It was pretty good, Tron Legacy.
Yeah,
I really like that album.
The album was good, too, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great pinball machine as well.
There we have it, 10 years. Google owns Android Inc., and we are still a podcast.
And we wouldn't be here if they didn't write that check for $50 million. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, that's such a bargain when you think about what it is.
Peanuts now.
I mean, how much of a percentage of Google's business is Android? I mean,
it's enabled so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's enabled there.
Yeah, Chrome OS. Yeah. Well, would Chrome OS exist?
Chrome OS, that's separate from the Android purchase.
Yeah.
The Chrome team has been developing. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I just think that their search business is so much greater as a result of everything mobile, and that's a huge part of that is Android. So, all right, so that is that, and now it's time to get to the news.
It's been 10 years of Android, so keep the party going and watch some Android news.
Oh, you went with the party. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, I was like, what, why is he doing
You know, Daft movie? Punk from the movie. That We could listen to that album.
All right, so hot on the heels of the 10th anniversary of Google buying Android, Android M, the latest version of Android, the developer preview 2 hit late last week after our show came out, of course.
Yeah.
Some notable changes with the latest version of the developer preview. Revamped app launcher, a horizontal home screen support, options for setting a default assist app, option for setting a default dialer. Is that a hint at a breakout possibly of the dialer? Battery percentage enabler, which is something that we've installed to have on our phones. A customizable status bar, demo mode for a clean notification bar, and removal of a theme option.
That theme was in there. You know, it seemed kind of like a, and I think it was part of the developer section, so it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't like any user would just, oh, I'm going to go dark theme. And that's not in there anymore. But definitely the revamp, so that's the horizontal, which you get on a tablet a lot of times.
Yep.
You would be able to access that on a tablet and on our phone. Now you have the option of doing that. The app drawer changes. I like it a lot better.
Yeah. You know how ugly this is. That was great. Sorry, that two screens ago was great.
Which one was it?
It said, we know how ugly this is.
Oh,
it's like a placeholder.
Oh, right, for on tap. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, on tap is still not functional.
They should just put, this doesn't work yet. Let's be honest.
That's pretty much what they're saying. Exactly. I have it installed on here. I actually was so busy over the weekend, I couldn't flash it manually.
Yep.
And then I ended up getting the OTA, which never happens to me, on Monday morning. So.
Nice.
So I ended up getting it. So, I mean, I think this is kind of like the biggest visible change on a day-to-day basis, having run the developer developer preview for the last month and a half or whatever. All the other changes are kind of like under the hood, and you got to kind of go looking for them mostly. This is the one that you'll really notice. There's no more big, ugly letters on the side, no more quick scrolling on the other side, which you used to have. Everything's filled. They were separating it by letter, so the A's would be here, and if your A's stopped there, that would leave a gap right here, and the B would start down there. No more of that, obviously. You still get your most recent apps up at the top, so if you want to use that, you can. But anyways, I think it looks a lot better. Maybe it's just
so much more user-friendly. It looks so much more user-friendly. I haven't used it yet. I haven't had a chance to tinker with our Nexus 6, but
yeah,
yay, I can scroll now.
So it's moving along. It's you know, they never say how many developer previews they're going to do. I mean, is it basically going to be a monthly update? Because this is...
I would imagine so. That was kind of what they had said initially, is that about every month.
Right.
And this, if you were to follow that description, this came a couple of weeks later than the true, like, month later. You know? So who knows? You know, it's probably going to be kind of a rough staging of that, and then probably sometime September, October, November, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
We'll know about whatever the next Nexus or Nexi are, and I'm sure we'll come along with that.
Well,
official release.
So a lot of those were nice little UI changes, but the ones that caught my attention was the option for setting a default assist app.
Mm-hmm.
So is that giving people an option to not use Google Now and use something else, like Cortana? Or any of the other ones that are coming out,
or S Voice.
Just kidding. You could.
Sorry.
Or the option for setting a default dialer, which is, you know.
Yeah, let's see here. I'm trying to go into my apps, and it's taking a little bit long. Okay, default apps, go in there. Yeah, so you've got a phone app for the phone app, and right now it says Google Dialer.
So you could use Truecaller. If you wanted to, I imagine.
I don't have another phone app installed on here to test it out, but I imagine that you could.
Yeah. What if it means something for Google Voice?
Right.
It could be anything. That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, default dialer, like, if you just wanted to use Hangouts dialer, it's too bad that you can't put that in there, but you can. So maybe eventually you will. But and then, yes, assistant voice app. And if... Oh, yeah, so Hound. Hound's a great example of that, right?
There,
like,
you go.
Hound is... SoundHound's voice assistant, and I could set that, and I guess that would...
That's cool. So it detects that it's an assist app and is loading it into the menu. So if you had Truecaller or one of the other dialer apps installed, it would probably come up when you hit the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fascinating. I wonder what that means. What does that mean?
I think that means that probably sometime soon we're going to see a replacement we're going to see a standalone Google dialer app in the Play Store.
That's crazy. Think about it. That's some Inception level stuff. Because think about that. Because why would you need the dialer? But I guess if you're on a phone that's got a dialer app that you don't want to use,
well, I mean, same reason that you would want any of their other breakout apps.
Yeah, fascinating.
And then it can be updated. You know, like the dialer, for instance, got an update to where now there's a separate tab for voicemail.
Yep.
In this version, so that would be something that wouldn't come with the OS. It would come in the app, and everybody would get it whether they upgrade their OS or not. So that's always kind of nice. Okay, so big news today, Google launched Nearby. This is a new API. It gives developers the ability to power, to communicate with people and devices that are close in proximity to the user on their phone. And basically what it does, from what I've read anyways, is that it takes what could be really complex, you know, those interactions, and turns it into something that's kind of relatively simple, single touch action. You can discover devices around you, transfer information automatically between them. And this is actually the same technology that's used in Chromecast guest mode. And that's now available to all developers. So, and we've known about this for a little while. There have been little leaks here and there and kind of hints. And Google's kind of talked a little bit, shown off things along these lines. And now we kind of finally have access to that. Along with this, Google also launched Eddystone. This is a cross-platform open source Bluetooth LE beacon. It's similar in a lot of ways to iBeacon, but obviously the big difference here is that it's open source. iBeacon is not open source. That's Apple's beacon technology, and it's very locked down. And, you know, I mean, this ties right into the Internet of Things. This is appearing to be, you know, part of Google's master plan of the Internet of Things and making all of these low-powered devices, allowing them to talk to each other.
No, yeah, beacons are going to be the technology of the future. That, as we talk, I mean, everything is going to be beacons everywhere.
So have either of you guys used or experienced iBeacon on iOS at all? Now, so we're
the show's
we're totally...
called All About Android, Jason.
Yeah, I know.
I
know.
Yeah, and I've over 3 months dark time of my life. Really?
I keep meaning to do it. One of these days, I'm going to do it. I feel like I have to understand what it's like on the other side of the fence. I guess my question is it intrusive?
Right.
Like the examples here are you're at a bus stop. And there's a beacon at the bus stop that knows that when you're there, it can push a notification to your phone that gives you instant access to the schedule, let's say.
Which is great.
I think that's really cool.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love for BART to know. I wonder actually how far it could go, because I'd love for it, once I drive into the BART parking lot, for it to just be like, your train leaves in 10 minutes. You better run.
Right.
Like, I would love to know that.
Right.
I mean, when you think about it, the idea of placing these beacons at locations with information and giving you contextual access, to data that is relevant to just that location.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you throw a beacon in front of a restaurant, and as you walk by, you get a push notification of the hours or of the,
What I mean, though. Yeah. Part of that seems useful.
Sure.
Part of it also seems very noisy and kind of spammy.
Yeah.
Me.
Well, that kind
I could totally see people going way overboard with it, but I don't know. I mean, iBeacon's been around for 2 years now, and on iOS of all things, which people go, people who really want to market themselves and everything, they go nuts over the iOS factor of things. So I would imagine that if there was abuse, we would already kind of be hearing about that.
Right.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody complain.
Having not experienced it, I don't know.
Well, the thing is that I haven't heard, you're right. I haven't heard anybody complain about these darn beacons.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't know how much of the beacon technology and the integration with Internet of Things and integration with locations is actually being enabled out in the world. Like, is it to the point of being an intrusion yet?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea being, this goes back, beacons are what's going to power that whole idea of as you're pulling up to your house, the garage door opens.
And Google showed that.
And the air conditioning turns on, and the lights turn on, and the coffee starts being made, and then everything just happens.
And you're like, no, wait, I forgot something at home. Don't do that, please. Don't turn off the coffee machine.
Turn off dinner. Turn off dinner.
Abort. Abort the steak. Abort the steak. Okay.
It's like Doc Brown, with the Rube Goldberg machine where the steak goes on the grill and the lights off.
Oh boy, that's a delicious future right there. Okay. I don't know. Just a part of it seems like a pop-up ad to me. And it's like, just because I'm walking by a restaurant doesn't mean I want to know what your special is today.
Probably. That's probably going to happen, though, right?
Yeah.
Working, you know how it is.
Yeah. I suppose you take the bad with the good, though.
I'm trying to, shut my mouth and not pay my bills. So, anyway.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem, is that, so much of what we do is funded by advertising and marketing.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's incredibly annoying. And so you're just figuring out a way. And this is actually a great segue to our next story, which we debated on including in the show or not, but I thought it was pretty relevant. So recently in the New York Times, our old pal Sundar Pichai was interviewed in the Bits blog section about the topic of phone intrusion. And so the writer Connor Dougherty got the opportunity to interview Sundar and ask him about General Google's approach to phones and user-centric design, and are phones, a tool that is being overused and intruding into our lives or not. And I thought it was really interesting to see some of the things that Sundar had to say about it, specifically around the idea of user-centric design, where, he said, Sundar said, in the end, the goal should be all of us should be doing stuff to solve problems for users and actually making their lives better, happier, and so on. I do think the experience needs to be a lot more thoughtful of interrupting users at the right point when they really need to. I think we need to design systems where if your spouse is calling you versus a random person is calling you, how does the system automatically do that better, of course?
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought, is a great kind of approach to that. The interviewer got a little snarky, if you ask me, and got a little aggressive with them. And so, I mean, Florence, from your point of view, do you think the phones are intruding in our lives as of now, or are they getting to the point where they're enriching them?
They're enriching mine. I mean, I'm planning my entire wedding online with my friends who have all moved far away, and mm-hmm. who are still a part of my life, and I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have social networking and my phone with me. It's just a part of my life now, you know? I mean, I'm still, like, I was born at a time where we didn't have computers, so I kind of remember what it was like, but I feel like this is just the norm now.
Which, and I agree with you. I mean, I can't imagine a life without these phones and our devices, but the writer does bring up the question, although in a snarky way. He says, are there things Google is doing to return people to where they are and reduce the temptation to look at their phone? And, you know, Sundar said...
No, what did Sundar... Oh, there he is.
So Sundar
says...
Sundar. He says, you're asking questions that have nothing to do with technology. Should kids check phones at dinner? I don't know. To me, that's a parenting choice. And so, I know I've been in situations where people I've been at meals with have been annoyed when people check their phones. When I check my phone, I've been annoyed by people who are checking their phone. I know that I'm annoying someone I'm at dinner while I'm checking my phone, but mm-hmm. I still do it mm-hmm. because I feel like you don't want to miss that important email, you know?
I mean, that's just etiquette. Like, we're going to have to learn a whole new set of manners now to go with all these digital devices. And we should stop. I feel like we should stop blaming each other for this. I don't know how to.
Yeah. I'd agree with what you guys are saying.
It's going to like a whole social thing now. Like, we need to talk about how we're going to integrate these things so they don't become that intrusive. And if something is that intrusive in your life, then you need to take a step back anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's about regulating your own. So for the people who can regulate their own, it's about doing that. You know, for younger kids, like they are learning this world based on their parents. I know I have two kids. So it definitely falls into the parents' hands to kind of help facilitate how this is introduced to them and hopefully steer them in a direction where they don't abuse that, which is very easy to do. Phones are addictive things. It's really easy to get into the habit of picking it up and then realizing you're checking it for no reason. Like, why did I just pick this up and look at it?
Because you don't want to
get a notification.
You don't want to miss anything.
I don't want to miss anything. Yeah. And so it's kind of an addictive kind of
lurch. I just have the thing where I just have to, like, turn it on all the time and just need to, like, look at it.
I'll never forget, like, right after the iPhone came out, I remember Merlin Mann joking that he wanted to make an app that kept track of how many times he checked his phone. Mm-hmm. You know, because you literally just you light it up just to see if you missed something or something mm-hmm. was going on that you didn't know about. And nothing would happen. I do that, too.
Yeah,
I just press the button. When I'm waiting for the bus or whatever like that, I just press the button. I look at the time and I put it back in my pocket. Like, and
it's like opening the refrigerator when you aren't hungry.
It's fair. Exactly like that. Except the refrigerator's in your pocket everywhere you go.
Yes.
and it's interesting though because the interviewer brings this up and Sundar's talking about this idea of user-centric design and notifications and the writer for the New York Times is saying, you know, people obsessively check their email. Other times they're worried that a boss or an important person is going to email them. Is there a way that over time that you start to trust the system, unless it's an important email, will not come to me? Features like this are out there. And he's talking about how there are lots of apps now that are making it so you can't check your phone, like that sort of thing. And Sundar has a great, you know, great responses to it, I thought. He says, you know, today, for example, Google Now does this. Over time, I think users rely on, you know, Google will let me know when to go to a particular meeting. We'll interrupt you at the right time. I think good applications today are very thoughtful about their notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea, is that as we develop these applications, we have to learn to trust the phones that they're going to notify us when we need to be notified and that we don't need to obsessively check it anymore.
Yeah,
hopefully
we can trust them.
Yeah, exactly.
Two things that I found interesting. One, I don't think that it's Google's responsibility to police this kind of stuff.
Agreed.
I think it's
kind of firmly out of their hands. Like, they create the platform. They don't even create the devices. You know, that falls in other people's hands and they're not even to blame. I think it kind of falls down to the people to police themselves as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
And two, I think it's interesting. There's a couple of tidbits from here that I just found interesting from Sundar's perspective as a person with his kind of in his role at Google with his kind of power and his kind of habits around technology. One is that he doesn't check email at all during the day. Because he's too busy doing other things and email's a distraction. And one thing that you hear time and time again is like the people who are able to do the most are the least distracted, or rather they don't allow themselves to get distracted. So when I'm sitting at my desk trying to populate the All About Android doc and I have TweetDeck up on the side and it's always moving and stuff, like I'm getting to the point now where I just close it. I'm like, now I need to focus, and I can't do this. I can't be distracted all the time. I found that fascinating.
That is the biggest issue right now. This has nothing to do with whether the phones are intrusive or not, but the idea that we have built a society that believes multitasking is the only way you can achieve things. You've got to be able to do more than one thing at a time.
Totally
and guess what? It's totally wrong. You cannot. You know, like I'm very, very much the type of person where I will close Twitter and I will close email when I got to write a document. Mm-hmm. Or you've got to do something. You need to set down a focus. You need to be able to step away from those distractions. Instant messenger is the worst. Instant messenger is like you opening your door to your house and saying, "Everyone, come in and interrupt me and stop me from doing what I'm doing." Yeah,
perfect metaphor.
Yeah. So. And the other thing that I found interesting is when Sundar is at home. He says he has a policy. He's not allowed. This is brilliant. Not allowed to walk around the house with his phone. It has to stay in one room.
And I think that was the writer. I think that was the wasn't that the writer?
Oh, I thought that was his answer. Yeah, I was does he do that?
No, that was the.
I was like, man, so he's not answering email during the day, and he's not walking around with his phone at night. Like, when does he do this stuff? Yeah. This guy's superhuman. Okay, that explains a lot. Okay, because I was kind of blown away by that. It just didn't comprehend. Yeah. It didn't make sense. But I was like, but obviously, a brilliant person is able to do this.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the
yeah, you're right.
Ultimately, the takeaways from this interview, or that at least that I took away from it, was that phones can be an intrusion, but users and app designers and phone designers need to design the best way to minimize those intrusions so that it's becoming an effective part and a positive part of people's lives mm-hmm. as opposed to a negative, as opposed to a takeaway. And you're right. It's not Google's responsibility to police that. It's got to be good app developers, and a good app notifies you when you need to be, you know? Mm-hmm.
So. Well, I'll just go ahead and tease forward and say my app in the arena is totally pertinent to this conversation. Not by a plan. I didn't plan it, but it turns out it's totally applicable. So stay tuned. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a tease. All right. So what do we have next? We have a voicemail. So we got two voicemails in today's episode. Some days we get none, and some days we get too many. So this first one is Anthony, and he has some interesting information about Play Music, the ongoing saga of Play Music device authentication limits.
Hey, AAA crew. Anthony here. This voicemail is directed towards those that are in the phone industry like me who go through phones on a regular basis, whether it be for work or just being a phone junkie. I started using a new phone recently and was dismayed when I could not use Play Music because I needed to deauthorize a device first before adding another. As we are all aware, there's a limit to how many times you can do this in a year. I called Google customer support and chatted with a nice rep who did a one-time exception for my account. Yay! He also collected additional information about what I do for a living and where I worked. Fast forward to today when I received an email from the Google support team letting me know that due to my line of work and I use more devices than the typical consumer, Google was releasing the restrictions on my account. Another, yay! I'm now able to go from device to device without a problem with deauthorizing and authorizing other devices. I know this won't apply to everyone, but it's good to know that if you're a phone junkie and your line of work keeps you swapping devices on a regular basis, Google does have your back when it comes to making life easier for you, at least on this topic. Thanks for continuing to have a great show and hosting a fun community. Cheers.
Cheers. Well, thanks for the voicemail.
It sounds like
I need to write Google.
I know, right?
Say, it sounds like Anthony just gave us a collective Christmas present.
I know. I kind of went back and forth on whether I include this. I was like, on one hand, wow, that's really, really awesome of Google to do. On the other hand, man, now everybody knows.
I can't wait to on Wednesday or Thursday when the Google customer service manager's review is like, we just got an influx of requests for
phone reviewers out there. It's like 20,000 phone reviewers.
I'm going to totally do this tomorrow because that's like a big, that's why I never, like, when I'm playing with new devices, I don't even bother with Google Play Music because I'm worried about the authentication thing.
Yeah, it sounds like they had to kind of do a little bit of, you know, question answer as far as like, who are you? What do you do that you use all these phones? Like, I doubt it was like, hey, I test a lot of phones. Okay, we'll get back to you. Hey, we've lifted your restrictions. So there's probably some sort of
review,
investigation or review or something. So
I have to think.
I bet you they just Google them.
Yeah.
And find out what they do.
Probably. It's probably they probably use their own tools, is what you're saying. They dog food the process. by using their search engine. Anyways, Anthony, thank you for sending in that voicemail, and I'm going to get right to that just as soon as I contact Motorola about my still broken Moto 360, which I haven't done yet, which I need to do because everybody's still contacting me saying, hey, I got mine replaced. It did the same thing, and they replaced it no problem. 4 days later, here it is. Yay. And I just don't have time.
Got to make the time. Maybe you should turn your phone.
Task rabbit it or hire, get like... Pay some kid $5 and call your intern for a day and get him to do it for you.
I got an idea. Close your email for about 20 minutes and do
That's
it.
That's a really great idea. I've got all these other things that I do when I close my email.
No distractions.
All right. Tell me about it. We want to thank our first sponsor of this episode. We want to thank NatureBox for bringing you this episode of All About Android as Jason scrambles to get the actual box. Right. We have one here. Right now at NatureBox, you can get a trial of their favorite snacks and just pay $2 for shipping. You know, you're going to snack. We all do. We get hungry. Lord knows I do. And when you do, you want it to be worth it. Something that is tasty and satisfying, but doesn't make you feel guilty afterwards. It's like a metaphor for my life.
This is a really good one. Dark chocolate berry trail.
Mm-hmm. What you need, and this is we're going to give you the answer of what you need in order to do this. You need snacks from NatureBox. You can choose from over 100 healthy and crave-worthy options to be delivered right to your door. All their snacks are made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams of trans fats, and no high fructose corn syrup. And best of all, they taste amazing. I'm dying to try the white truffle popcorn. So good. So much better for you than other snack options out there. So next time you're hungry, grab strawberry lemonade fruit stars or sweet and salty nut medley or white truffle popcorn and get smart about snacking.
Snacking.
So, Jason, what are you going to try right now?
Actually already know that I love these. It's dark chocolate berry trail mix.
All right.
It's like dark chocolate, dried fruit.
Why don't you guys describe them to me?
Oh, man. Well,
I can't enjoy with
you. It's dark chocolate chips, cranberries, pumpkin seeds, raisins, dry roasted almonds, sunflower seeds, cashews, soy nuts. There's just all sorts of cherries. Yeah, it's a really good mix.
I got to tell you, the white truffle popcorn is totally delivering. I'm a big truffle fan. If you just put truffle oil on anything, it makes it amazing. Mm-hmm. And popcorn is no exception. That's fantastic. All right. So this is what you're going to do right now. Literally right now. Go to your browser and go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/TWIT. And you can get a trial of their favorite snacks delivered right to your door. So what are you waiting for? Go to naturebox.com/twit and start your trial today. And we thank NatureBox for their support of All About Android and My Waistline.
Yeah, we do. Keep supporting us, and we'll keep eating.
Yes.
I mean, especially, we'll keep eating.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. I will keep eating. Guaranteed.
It's really good. I mean, we have so much in the kitchen. It's always there.
Good stuff.
Nature boxing at us. And I don't know. I made it a verb.
It's all right. It's going to be good. Let's go to Hardware.
It's been a long day.
Let's go to Hardware.
Well, I'm not sure I ever saw this one coming.
I did not see this one coming at all, in fact.
I think I found my new phone. It's not a Nexus. It's a Commodore PET. It's probably overselling it because this is totally like it's not the Commodore that you may remember.
That you're thinking of.
I mean, it is by logo.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like the Commodore that you may know and love from being a kid.
And then they used PET, too,
I mean, it's total.
I mean, should we explain this for people who don't understand? I mean, Brian, can you Google Commodore PET and show people what archaic machines I had to deal with in elementary school?
It's a Commodore PET.
Literally has a cassette deck in the bezel, the body of the machine.
Now, I didn't really use a Commodore PET, the Commodore PET. I used the Commodore 64, Commodore 128.
Which has been featured recently on the latest season of Halt and Catch Fire.
Yes, I know. I've been loving it.
Prominently, yeah.
Yes, it's been awesome for the nerd in me. So, you know, I just have this, like, soft spot for Commodore. Anything Commodore, I'm into it. Even if this is totally somebody just came along,
and
bought the rights to the name, and decided, hey, let's put our logo on a phone. Whatever. I think that kind of works for whatever reason.
It's kind of genius, to be honest.
I'm kind of all right with it. Aluminum frame, interchangeable covers, 5.5-inch IPS display, HD display, 1.7 gigahertz. This is where it kind of falls apart. MediaTek, 64-bit octa-core. Not sure that MediaTek is the best processor out there from reviews and other devices. A lot of really kind of low-scale devices, you know, across Asia and whatever, are using the MediaTek processor. So jury's still out on whether this is a good processor and good diet.
Wow. We're going to need you to flip that around, Alex.
But then I can't use it for the... If we could get Florence on here, that would
be perfect.
This is amazing. This is fantastic.
I love that we just have these things lying around. All it takes is like us to mention the name of some random obscure piece of technology, and it appears on the desk a minute later.
Well done. Well done.
This is not the phone.
Yay.
Oh, wow. There we go.
And this is why Brian is the best in the business.
Yes.
She's in the computer.
Oh, it's...
Wow. Full
color and everything.
I know. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have color back then, did they?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, the phone, 3,000 milliamp hour battery. It looks nothing like this, by the way.
Make it amber, Brian. Make it amber.
Amber, okay.
Or green.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, that works. Can you bit crush it so you can down res it?
Oh, there's only so much I can do.
The TriCaster is awesome, but it can't do it all. I think the clincher here, or at least the kind of thing that sets this apart other than the obvious blatant branding, is the fact that it has two emulators pre-installed. They say the Vice, or the Wired article says the Vice C64 and an Amiga emulator, a UAE, I never heard of this one, 4A112 SDL. Sexy, I know. So they say they're going to be bringing classic Commodore 64 games to the device.
Do I really need Choplifter on my phone, on my Android phone in 2015?
Yeah, you do. This is nothing that people couldn't just do on their own. Yeah, you totally roll your own with an emulator.
This is a gimmick. That's a gimmick.
Oh, it's a total gimmick. Yeah, but it
Karateka. Can we put Karateka on it? Yeah, Karateka.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. My fiance actually just bought like a PSP, like a legitimate PSP, for like $100. Just uses an emulation machine.
Yeah, so that's a great emulation.
Commodore 64 games, which I'm like, I don't even understand that because I didn't have Commodore 64. I started, so you know, I have a different threshold.
I've fallen for the emulator. I mean, I've got a DOS emulator that I've played the old Gold Box D&D games on, the Champions of Corinne and stuff like that.
They're so fun. I love nostalgia like that. It's so fun.
But the problem is with those emulators is that, honestly, go back and think about how much time you spend playing that game. Maybe 5 minutes. You're like, look at that.
I mean, that's exactly it. You load it up. You go, wow, I've got it. Then you play it for 5 minutes. You go, okay, what's all I got?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I got an email. Oh, wait, Twitter. Yeah. Oh, wait. I got a text.
I'm distracted. Anyways.
That's
all right.
Amazing.
So I'm probably not actually going to buy a Commodore phone, but I do want to review it. I would love to get a copy. If anyone is watching, send me a Commodore Pet Android phone. I want to review
it. I think it's smart that they're using the old classic Commodore logo with the C, but they've updated the Pet logo because the Pet logo in the 80s wasn't a great logo, just block text. So now they made it a little cyanogen moddy, kind of like the font, you know, like that future-y font. This is genius. This
they
is
spiffed
very smart.
It up.
Yeah. We had a Commodore 64, but I spent more time on my Apple II Plus and then my beige XT IBM PC.
This could be a new trend.
Yeah, well, let's hope not.
Phones that are released to look like old consoles and computers, and oh man, it's totally
like the
happen.
Nintendo 64-bit.
Yes, right. Running Lollipop, of course.
Right,
of course. But Lollipop 5.0, not 5.1.
All right. Well, speaking of other new phones, we got a new metal-bodied premium phone, the ZTE Axon.
Yeah, ZTE is not a name that you.
No, the Z. ZTE. ZTE.
That came out of nowhere. Today, yeah. By the way, totally came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was just doing my work, and all of a sudden, ZTE is a new flagship phone.
Like, surprise! Awesome phone.
There you go. Yeah. It's going to cost you $450, and it's running a Snapdragon 810 processor with 5.5-inch LCD display at 534 ppi. It's got a 3,000 milliamp battery, 4 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, dual lens front and rear-facing cameras, 13-megapixel dual lens on the rear, hi-fi audio support, GSM LTE support, and chips with Android 5.1. You can get it in gold, black, or blue.
Not a bad phone.
Not
and,
a bad phone at all. ZTE. Who
knew? Yeah, $450 yeah. all in. Yeah. I'm so curious.
Somebody said it looked like the HTC One X.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I could see that.
There's no navigation buttons anywhere in the promotional video.
Which kind of probably on screen, huh?
Well, it kind of confused me. Like, take a look. No navigation.
Oh.
And the promo image that they attach only has the home button. Where is it? Is it the bottom one? Yeah, the little home circle.
I think it's capacitive. I swear somebody was tweeting about this today and saying it's capacitive. And that
yeah, I'm like, sure it is, but what? Where did the other buttons go?
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just
it's a good
visible.
What are we going to do? We're just going to go home all the
just
time?
Make it up. You'll remember it. How many phones have you used?
Tap home one to go home, twice to go back, three times to pull up your multitasking.
It's like Morse code.
Yes, exactly. So ZTE. That's a nice surprise in the accent, and hopefully we'll get that at some point to review. Another phone that we have, I don't believe we reviewed this on the Twit Network, but Florence, you were spending some time with the Samsung Galaxy S6
Active. I took it on vacation.
Whoa, so you got active with the Active.
Yeah, I did. Well, if you call sitting and drinking beer active. But
I do. That's an activity that I aspire to do myself. So what did you think? How is the Active?
Oh, gosh, it's great. I actually didn't mind its size so much relative to the GS6 Edge that I'm normally carrying now as my daily driver. But I'm really not into the camo. I'm just really not into the camo on the back. Everything else, though, because I like the GS6 so darn much, I really liked this one, too. And I liked the little, like, it had a little activity key on the left side, I believe. And you press it and it brings up like the Samsung activity zone. It has like a barometer and it tells you, it shows like your S health data and location and all that stuff. And that was just kind of fun to play with while we went hiking.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the water resistantness, because it's not completely waterproof. It's only water resistant, like up to half an hour or whatevs. The water resistantness is great. It's a nice little thing. And I mean, we went jet skiing. So obviously a lot of fun videos were made with that. So it's always nice. But, you know, I'm not really a Bear Grylls type. I'm totally like, I go to yoga and that's the most like super active thing that I do. And sometimes I go hiking, but they're, you know, nothing super extreme. So I don't really need a phone of this capacity, but it is only $10 more though, I will say. Whereas the Edge is $100 more, so which I found very interesting.
It's an interesting market to go after, like the Active, you know, because a lot of people are out there doing stuff with their phones. They're out in nature. I mean, I'm not one of them. Florence isn't one of them. I don't know if you're one of them, Jason.
I aspire to be.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't as much as I like.
I have no aspirations to be. But my buddy, who's like a mountain biker, this totally would be good for him because he's out there and he's roughing it, and you know, and
he's probably spending like $80 on an OtterBox case for his phone anyway.
Yeah.
So if you really like the specs inside the Galaxy S6. But you just want like the rugged case, well, then you could just get it for $10 more, but that's only if you're on AT&T, which is a total bummer.
Hmm.
Right.
So it's only on AT&T.
Oh.
I'm bummed about. Because I liked it. Like, in a perfect world, I would have this phone and the Edge. And the Edge would go with me to the club. And the other phone would go with me when I like, go to the, go do like hiking and stuff. You know?
You'd have your wall of S6s and you'd be like, what am I doing today?
I loved it when they had the Swarovski. They had like a Swarovski display, I think, last year at MWC, and they had like all these Swarovski blinged out like S5s and like Gear S's, and I was totally into it.
Now that's another market that they could go after, the bling club night or whatever, versus you know, and you,
yeah.
So there you go, Samsung. Hope you're paying attention. All right. Well, let's move back into hardware. All right, as always, we like to stay abreast of the latest news around Android Wear, and as we try to see if these watches are actually useful for anything.
Mine's still on my dresser.
There you go. Your dresser knows what time it is.
No, it's dead on the dresser.
Oh, right. Yeah. So according to an exclusive over on the website Fandroid, tap gestures are coming to Android Wear. interactive watch faces will respond to a tap on the watch face and do things like change the look, launch an action, reveal more information, and more. Tapping the watch face to deliver a voice action will be depreciated to make room for this, which I find curious that you need to depreciate something. Like, are we that tight on space? You can't. Like, what if I like that function? But I guess, oh well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, the idea just the tapping something to launch something, it's almost like a quick launcher kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and more and more we're kind of seeing the, I don't want to say the Apple Watchification of Wear, but Wear is kind of moving a little bit more into the running apps state as opposed to just being notification triage and a little bit of extra functionality.
Yeah.
Kind of seeing a little bit more of that kind of like deeper app.
But I think also they're seeing how people are using it, I think. And not only how people are using it, but how people want to use it. And I got to imagine something like this is coming out of feedback or whatever, or what they've seen. People like, oh, I'd like to do this. And so we'll make them be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So, because Lord knows I don't talk to my watch ever, so I don't need the voice thing. You know, I'd rather tap than talk.
Can we bring up how like Android Wear is all about customization and like, Google's really been pushing this narrative of like, come get, you know, an Android Wear watch because you can do whatever you want with it. You can change the face on it. You can swap out the bands really easily. You can buy like a different, you could choose the actual color of your watch.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it, and I like what they're doing with these. I call them widgets for Android Wear. That's what I thought of when I first read of like, you know, the active backgrounds on Android Wear is like basically widgets. They sound like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Google's.
I'm just totally barfed out my entire process on that. I'm sorry. I just had a lot of thoughts on it. I just wanted to share.
Thank you for sharing, Lawrence. We appreciate it. It's good to know.
You know, Google wants you to be you.
Yes.
With your watch, I suppose. So. This is further kind of customization options around that.
I'm in gold. I love it.
Now, what about Swarovski crystals on your Android Wear watch?
Would that swing? It'd have to depend. I'd have to dress like that all the time, though, which is very exhausting.
Yeah. And sounds kind of dangerous. Like, you don't want to run into one of those crystals.
That is a risk.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Cut yourself. Let's take a quick break. Thank another sponsor of today's episode. That is Braintree. This is code for easy online payments. This is perfect for all the developers that watch this show. Want to build mobile payments into their app. Well, if you're a mobile app developer, all you need to do is check out Braintree. Braintree is the payment solution that's used by companies like Uber, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, Munchery. Developers must believe in a product, as you well know. Juan Benitez, the CTO of Braintree, talked to us recently about the feedback that he receives from developers. Here's what he had to say.
You know, when we talk to iOS engineers, they get really excited by how fast and easy it is to have Apple Pay through Braintree. Just a ton of feedback from Android developers saying, wow, great, now I can get Android Pay. Then you see people really kind of responding and saying, wow, I can do more than one of these through one integration, one SDK, and one report too. Wow, that's going to make my finance guys happy.
And Braintree's made the payment experiences in these apps seamless and magical. Now you can add a similar experience to your own app, but they make it really easy with excellent customer service and simple integration. Braintree gets you ready to receive payments quickly, and Braintree's continuous support plus fast payouts means you'll be prepared as your company grows from your first dollar to your billionth. That's right, your billionth dollar. Braintree is helping solve the problem of mobile cart abandonment, which is a big issue. They were offering a best-in-class mobile checkout experience, so potential customers don't leave items in their cart. You can check it out for yourself. Braintree gives you a full-stack payment solution, support for all payment types your customers might want. Start accepting PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, cards, and more, all with a single integration across all platforms. With superior fraud protection, customer support, and fast payouts as well. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/android. And we thank Braintree for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. All right, we've got some apps to take a look at. Let's do that.
So long-time viewers might recall the horrific journey I went through in 2014 of trying to find a SMS app, the SMS app of my choice, because I hated Hangouts. Mm-hmm. And I went through all the other ones, and I finally settled on what I've been using for months now is Google Messenger, which I – and Florence, I think you agree with me because I read your article. Don't really understand why it exists, but I actually like it better than Hangouts. But turns out they added some wacky stuff. Florence, what did they add?
They added some cute little stickers and things that you can put into your messages, and they're so adorable. And there's little grumpy broccoli, and there's like a little toaster that pops out of – or a little piece of toast that pops out of a toaster. And they also have location sharing.
Oh, and something useful. Sorry.
And something useful.
Sorry, people love their emojis.
Broccoli, he's just so what? Like, so, but
what emotion does an adorable broccoli?
I didn't see.
Is it confused broccoli?
What his animation was? I only saw the toaster.
Well,
he
sent
my friend the toaster.
Oh.
Here, I can pull it up if we like.
Yeah, let's see it.
Pull up the broccoli. Yeah. Well, get that broccoli back.
What I don't understand is if someone's not using Hangouts on the other end, do they still get the sticker?
Because I was testing it by texting my BFF in New York, and she has iMessage, and by the way, she hates me because I do not have iMessage.
Yes, and you are a green bubble. Yes,
she just like curses at me. But yeah, she saw the little. She's like, it's so cute.
So okay, so here we go. So here's my texting. I'm texting Jason, and if I hit the little,
you're texting me through the messaging app.
Through the messaging app. Yeah, yeah. So. And now, so you've got a bunch of options here. And previously, it was just camera and gallery and voice. But now, in the middle, we've got this little smiley thing, which gives me stickers. And then I could also hit the little location, and it will give the location, which is new, which is cool. Yeah. I mean, that's a good bit of functionality. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna give the singing broccoli.
Is he singing or eating himself?
He's eating himself. Oh my god, he's eating himself!
Don't do it! Oh man.
So it sends it as MMS. So they're just getting it as.
Thank you, Brian. That was necessary.
What is he doing?
He just keeps doing it.
Make him stop. That's horrible. He's just eating himself to oblivion.
I think he's growing while he's eating himself. So,
I think so too.
He's always regenerating.
Is that cannibalism or is that what?
Okay. So.
So there you go.
There we go.
So now I don't know if you have overhead or no.
Oh, overhead.
Yeah.
Here you go.
There you go.
There it is.
I'm eating myself.
Go into it and hope that I don't show anything I'm not supposed to.
Oh, your little toaster. He's so cute. Sorry.
Where's the
there
toaster?
We go.
Oh, look at this.
The corner.
Look.
Or you could see what? The rock cooking himself.
Now he's cooking. He's cooking himself worse. Why did they do this?
These monsters.
This is an interview I need to pursue. Google, what is up with the animations and Messenger?
I know.
Food has feelings too, right? And it hurts just as much when you put them in a toaster.
They actually have two other animation packs, by the way, too, that you can download. I didn't test them out, though.
Yeah, there's the Lovable Zoo and Best Friends Forever. All right, well, anyway. So there we go.
Why is
the broccoli eating itself?
Okay, so you don't understand why it exists, but yet you use it.
I don't care. I like it. I think it's great. You know why? Because it doesn't have all the dumb stuff. That I don't want Hangouts. I don't want chat. I just want SMS. I just want
Which
straight.
Doesn't take 5 minutes to load. You mean?
Yeah.
Sorry, but you do Hangouts. You take a long time to load.
It's super- there are issues for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my SMS is Messenger, and now I've got stickers. So you can be jealous, everyone else.
See, I like Textra because it has like a quick compose button that it puts in the notification shade, and it has a tie into Giphy. You can just like.
Oh yeah, that's.
I used Textra for a little bit, and I don't know why I stopped using it. I ran into some problem with it, and I threw it out. So, I just settled on Messenger. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go. That's why it exists.
Yep.
Let's see here. Something that folks got really afraid of, or something, over the weekend was Google Photos. Somebody noticed that they installed Google Photos, the app. They had it installed for a very short period of time. Then they uninstalled it. Okay. Then when they checked their photo library online later, it had like all of these photos synced, and this person was certain that it didn't happen while it was installed. It happened after it was uninstalled.
So they uninstalled, but it was still syncing.
But it was still syncing, exactly.
That seems like a bug or a feature.
Well, no, actually, what it... Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's kind of like a feature in essence, because what it is the photo upload functionality is part of Google Play services.
Okay.
So when you're using the front end, which is Google Photos, to turn it on, you're basically turning it on through Google Play services, but you know, doing that through the Photos app because it's handy there. Yeah. I think the general user, though, isn't going to know that if they uninstall, it's not going to also stop that. And, oh, well, right. Oh, you check the settings in Play services. Google has already reached out to say basically like, yeah, that, you know, we need to provide clarity here in how we communicate to this to people and make sure that people understand when they're uninstalling that it's still syncing photos, that sort of thing. So just kind of, I suppose, a word of caution if you're worried about that and you don't want your photos syncing to photos, or maybe you don't want it eating up your bandwidth and that's why you uninstalled it.
Yep.
Or you didn't just change the setting to just Wi-Fi or when it's plugged in, whatever. There are a number of reasons why people would not want this to happen. Something to check. It's not necessarily tied to the app specifically. It's in your settings. So there you go. I can understand the confusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's a feature.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the users. User-centric design. There we go. Yeah, Sundar.
Well, and there's always the people in the comments and stuff that are like, oh, how long have you been using a cell phone and you don't understand this? If you don't understand this, then you don't deserve to have a cell phone. It's like, no. This is kind of confusing.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, but it's kind of confusing.
And there are also still people who write first in the comments.
Yes.
So.
Or just a period.
It's 2015.
And then like 20 million people like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
All this stuff happens.
So one more little app story that actually could have gone in hardware. Well, not hardware. We need like appware. We need Androidware apps bumper. I know we don't, Jeff. I'm sorry. Jeff Kosmicki, we don't need that.
No.
But
we're good.
For those of you who are still playing Ingress, and we know you're out there, version 1.81 has got some pretty cool Androidware support now. So you're enabled to get notifications of nearby portals and if they're being attacked. But it also kind of sounds like battery life takes a big hit in the process. So pick your priorities. Do you need to know when your portal's getting attacked? Then run this. Just be careful. You carry an extra battery with you. That's all. So pretty cool, though.
From what I understand, Ingress has never been very kind to batteries.
Yeah. But it's cool. No. It's very cool. I give them that credit. So
I don't know. Florence, were you ever an Ingress player?
No, I opened it once and then it saw how much battery it used. And then I swear to God, that's exactly what happened, too.
I think I opened it here at work and then I realized in order for me to use it, I'd have to open it and then leave work and not actually be going to something else that I had to do.
Right.
And I just realized, like, this doesn't work for my life. Right. I can't play Ingress. I don't have the time.
I don't have room for you in my life, Ingress.
I can sit at my desk and play a game, but if you're asking me to get up and move around to play a game, I can't do that. I'm sorry.
Listen, Ingress, it's not you. It's me. Ingress, I think you're great. I mean, yes, you drain the battery a little, but, you know, and you have fun, but it's me. It's not you, Ingress.
That's why I'm uninstalling you.
You should have to break up with every app you uninstall. Like, listen, Hangouts. Should. I understand that you have a lot of functionality, but really I'm just looking for something more simple in my life.
I'm just looking for something faster.
I've met Messenger.
To which the app gives you a toast that says, are you sure?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, no, yes, I'm sure. This is really hard. We have another voicemail, as I said earlier. This time, let's just say before the voicemail, I may have said that his name is Jesse. After the voicemail, I will have a different pronunciation.
This is in reference to last week.
Take it away. In reference to last week. He'll explain it all.
The company name Yola has come up in the show a couple of times now, and you've been saying it as if the name is in Spanish.
Yola.
Since Yola is a Finnish company, the proper pronunciation is Yola. By the way, the name means dinghy, something one might use to escape the burning platform of Nokia.
Oh.
Anyway, keep up the good work of bringing us the Android goodness every week. Bye, guys.
So then I have to imagine.
Sick burn, though. Sorry. I have to, like, revel in that for a second.
That was a burn, wasn't it?
That was really burning. Ouch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It stung a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sorry for those of you who are Nokia fans, because you've just been learned by. I imagine his name is pronounced Yussie. not Jussie, because it's J-U-S-S-I, and I just don't know where to go with this one. But if Yola is Yola, then Jussie is Yussie.
Jussie.
Yeah, so there we go.
I'm going to go yogging later.
You do.
I hear it's becoming popular. I got her.
I was trying. Let's take a minute and thank our final sponsor of today's episode before we jump into the arena, and that is Casper. I enjoy Casper every single night because I have a Casper mattress and it is super cozy, super comfortable. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. Their mattresses are obsessively engineered at a fair price. It's all about a really great quality mattress at a great price. They say, as you can see here, Leo's unboxing his mattress. It came in a big, you know, cardboard box. But when you consider like how big the mattresses are in a showroom and how much of a pain in the neck it is to move it to your house and all that kind of stuff, they just send this to you in like a box that, you know, it takes like a couple of minutes to unravel it, and you have your mattress all laid out and ready to sleep on. Two technologies, there's latex and memory foam that are combined, and it just makes sleeping on the mattress so much more comfortable. It has the right sink, the right bounce. It's firm when it needs to be, and it's just super cozy and comfy. Can you tell that I have a 5-year-old? Because I say words like cozy and comfy, by the way.
I wasn't going to judge.
I feel like I'm talking to my daughter suddenly. A Casper mattress provides long-lasting comfort and support. You can buy it easily online and completely risk-free. Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress. That's why they ship these to you instead of you having to lay down in a showroom and make a split decision whether it's comfortable or not. They actually send it to you, and you can check it out. Within 100 days, you can return it. It's free delivery to you, and it's, you know, painless return within that 100-day window. So you don't have to go to the showroom. You can just check it out in the best showroom in the world, and that is your bedroom. And here's what you can do. If you want to get in on Casper mattresses, which are, by the way, made in the U.S. of A, you can get one for yourself. $500 for a twin, $950 for a king size. I got the California king. And compared to industry averages, that's an outstanding price. You can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/android and then enter the promo code Android. That's casper.com/android. Enter the promo code Android, and we thank Casper for their continued support. And I thank Casper for their continued support, like my back when I'm laying down and all that kind of stuff. So lots of support that we're thanking you for. And check out Casper. All right, let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right.
Yeah, so last week, let's see here. I think I know where this landed because I've been watching throughout the week, but I haven't checked today.
I was surprised, I'll be honest with you. I was surprised from the get-go. I thought, I'm glad to see you get a win, but I was surprised at the margin.
I can't pull up the poll.
Last I checked, here we go. Yeah, so
55% for Hooks, yes. Inputting Plus at 32%, second place. And then IA Writer. Third place at 14%. So, Ron, that means that you, sir, are first.
Yes, and Wade County checks in from the chat room with the latest app arena stats, and I'm still in the lead with 10 wins. Jason, you're in second now with 9, and the guests have got 8.
This is a tight year.
Neck and neck this year. No one has run away. I mean, I had that run earlier in the year, but you caught up, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun times. All right. App. I don't typically normally do photo apps because I feel like it's a very saturated kind of channel, but it takes a special app to impress me with what it does functionally, and this one did that. It's called Crossroad, and typically what happens is that a lot of times, if you're like me, you go to a lot of big events with several friends, like just like, for example, this past weekend was the San Diego Comic-Con. You might go to Google I.O. You might go to a music festival like here in San Francisco. The Outside Lands is coming up or whatnot. So you might have a large group of friends all at the same event, but all experiencing it from a different perspective. And sure, everybody, see, and right now we're doing the show and Jason's taking pictures.
You know, I'm just adding to the the demonstration.
But so so everyone takes their pictures. A lot of time post them to Google Plus or to Instagram or to Facebook, and you end up getting this disparate, you know, kind of mess of photos around all different kind of platforms. And wouldn't it be great if you can just take all the photos of the people you care about and get them in one area so everyone can experience what everyone else is seeing? Crossroad lets you do that. So I will go into the app here and show you exactly what happens. So when you zoom out a little, if you can, Brian, there you go. So when you're in the app, you can just hit the plus button and that will normally do something. There you go. So you can create a crossbook, and basically if you're going to an event, you can give it a title and just say it's an event, you know, and then you can invite your friends. Really simple. In this particular case, I only have one friend, and it's Jason. They need to sign up for Crossroad, and it's real simple. It just uses Facebook login to do that and get them signed up. You can invite them via email or via SMS. I sent Jason an email, and I said, hey, check it out. And was it hard to install? Was it just simple? Yeah, there you go.
I just installed it.
Okay, so I went ahead and created a Crossbook earlier called All About Android. And so when you create one, it appears here, and tapping into it, and what you see – when it loads, my phone's been annoying. There you go. You can see that these are the various photos that Jason and I have both taken while at All About Android.
I'll see if I can add another one on the fly here.
Yeah, so if we want to take the overhead, Ryan, what you can see, and I'm going to change my brightness. So
I'm going to go into mine. This is the last picture that I took, here. And it's already triggered to go into there. So I'll go ahead and hit done. That imported into here, and it should appear for you, right, once it kind of refreshes.
Oh, wait, I turned off... Oh, yeah, airplane mode.
Yeah, you're in airplane mode.
I'm sorry.
While you do that, I will go ahead and import a few others, because why not?
There you go. Okay, now we're back.
The camera roll. And we'll go ahead and do these, because it's super creepy. Okay. All right.
Come back. Refresh.
There we go. Last picture. All so right. I've added it to the bucket. And eventually that'll sync to your device.
Yeah. Right? So the idea is that it will appear in both of our little areas. The timeline. I don't know why it's not refreshing. But anyway, so it's the idea. It's almost like a closed Instagram for you and your friends. So you can all see, I imagine, because the photos are uploading and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to... Come on.
I think the point of this app also wouldn't just be, I'm adding it right now and you get access to it immediately.
It's also for after
that. You'd still be kind of doing whatever, you know, whatever the event is, and eventually it would populate for everyone.
And that's what's super cool. If you want to go back to my phone, Brian, and that's exactly. So after the event, everyone's taking their photos. You can choose. It's not every photo you take. It's added to the album, just the photos you choose. But then what's neat is that you can, so I got a little notification up here that tells me new medias. Four new pictures and All About Android.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, it just needed time to load. That's all. So, if I go back to them, they will appear, supposedly. Ta-da.
Refresh.
There they are. So, cool. So, you got the Star Wars app, too. I downloaded that as well. But anyway. But now let's say one of your friends doesn't have an Android or an iOS phone or doesn't have the app, but they want to see it, or you want to show the pictures to your mother or whatnot. You just hit share it. And that will bring up the sharing menu and can send a web link that can be viewable in any browser. So that's a great way to share photos from an event. So it's a great way to share the experience through photos all in one place. Make it super simple. It's free in the Android and the Google Play Store. So if you're going to a big music festival or on a trip, on a vacation, that sort of thing, it is the perfect use for organizing group photos. There you go.
Sweet. It is Crossroad. Check it out. It's free in Play Store. Okay, so Florence, I have your game installed. I'll go ahead and launch it here, and you can tell us all about it.
Alpha Bear. Alpha Bear is a great new game. Alpha Bear, it's a game from the guys that Sprite Fox. They did Triple Town, and I was super obsessed with that game, so I just downloaded this because I was reading about it on Twitter, and I was like, oh crap, they have a new game. So I went and downloaded it. This is a word game. So you like make up words and you have to rack up a bunch of points, and you only have a limited amount of time to use certain letters though. And if you don't use them within like the time that you're allotted, which you know by like what color they are, you know, they go from like green to red, they turn into stones and then the board gets full and then the level's done. It's really hard to explain how this game is played. I have to be honest, because you kind of just have to play it and
figure it out. I've realized that I'm really bad at it. Just kind of in the short amount of time that I took to play it a little bit earlier to get familiar with it, I have I have a really hard time seeing words.
Interesting.
So
like, it's like Boggle?
Glim? Is Glim? Glum. Glom? Is Hog. Glom a word?
Hog.
Yeah, Glom is a word. Okay.
Yay,
so we'll go ahead and do that.
I was going to say, Glob.
There you go.
There we go. They turn to bears. More letters appear.
And then, you know, you collect bears with, like, each level you that you feed, and then you can use them as a...
Fatwa?
As power-ups.
Oh.
Fatwa.
Great word.
It uses Scrabble words, too, so you can do, like, G.
I could spell... No, I won't. That would
family
be a good
show.
Word
We're
too, because
show.
I could get rid of the twos.
Oh,
see, the problem is the numbers that you see there are the amount of.
No, it's like spelling it out. Sorry.
Exactly. Those numbers. So every turn that I take, those numbers go down by one. And when a block hits zero, it turns into a rock, and it's less points at the end of the level, and gives you less options to spell things. So
that's fantastic.
I could also just spell this.
There you go.
There we go.
I use that I and that N.
Septic. S E P.
Yes.
How did you see that? No, you got to use the N. Use the N. Use the N.
Yeah. S E.
Are there two T's?
No.
Use the lower I though, because you have to get rid of it. Yeah. And the C.
Yeah.
Great word.
Hey, that's a great.
You gotta
rocks happen. Don't sweat it. So you can see that one turned into a rock. And you do the whole thing. Marsworm in chat says it's like Bomberman for words. I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that, but yeah, there you go. Cool. Yeah, it's very addictive. I want my eyes to be better at recognizing words, because when I play it, I almost get frustrated at a certain point.
I play a lot of word games though.
Yeah.
This game replaced Peggle for me, because I was doing like every level in Peggle Blast, trying to get all the stars, but I reached like a wall. So I had to get some other addictive game to play incessantly every night while I'm also watching TV and eating dinner, multitasking.
Why can't I spell Yentl, the movie name?
Huh?
I want Yentl.
Yentl.
And
it won't do it?
I could spell it, but it won't recognize it. It has something against, what was her name?
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand.
Yentl.
Obviously. Why do I know this stuff?
Well, yeah, straight out of 1984.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, sorry, literally everybody watching this show for naming a movie you've probably
all,
never heard of.
All the call outs, I wouldn't have expected a Yentl
call out. I recognized the word in there. What can I say? It's a word game, and I saw the word Yentl, okay? All right, so it is Alpha Bear. It is free in the Play Store. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so I told you earlier that mine had something to do with actually kind of a recurring theme throughout this episode. Mine's called Forest. Stay focused. So this is a stay focused app. Obviously, it's in the title, but it does it a little bit differently. So I'll go ahead and launch Forest here. So what you do is here. I'll just show you where I'm at right now. I was playing with it earlier. This is kind of my landscape, and this is where
that's cool.
My stats of how much time I've saved and the forest that I've created as a result of it are shown. So what happens, so you can see here, I only have one tree. Like I did this on a couple of different phones, and I did this before the show, so I had something to show in this view. So that one tree stands for 30 minutes of focus time. If I go out here, and the minimum that I can set it for is 30, because they don't want you just growing trees all the time for, you know, and not saving a whole lot of time, is you plant it, and... the time starts to tick and it says, leave me alone. It starts out as a little
So it doesn't let you use the phone.
No, you can. Okay. But if you do, you kill the tree. So,
jeez.
So, oh, my gosh.
So I could, and it would damage the tree. And the more I do it, the more detriment I bring to the tree. And then
really?
Yes.
So what happens if you...
And it hurts the forest. So
what happens if you go do something? What happens to this the leaf shrivel?
So I'll go ahead and go into Cook Bright and, you know, do stuff. And... You know, maybe I'll go into Hooks because that was in
you got
last
a notification.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, Tarantino new film.
A new episode of Mr. Robot.
Oh, hey, where was that? Oh, Mr. Robot, a new episode aired. Okay. All right, cool. Actually, I haven't tested this out, so I'm curious to see. Let's see here. What are you going to do to me now, huh, Forrest? Huh? What you going to do?
Bobbing. What's bobbing? I actually don't know what that word means.
I don't either. Is that a bad word?
Go back to your work, you lazy bum.
Fine. If I give up, are you sure you give up? You'll kill little cute tree.
It says kill. They should change it to murder to make you feel really bad. Like, this will murder your tree.
Wait a minute. How did I get coins for that? Okay, this is interesting.
What is this supposed to do? Are you just growing a tree, or is it only growing the tree if you don't use your
phone? So I want to take a look at the forest now. No, it's not in the forest. So it didn't log my dead tree. It should have logged my dead tree, I would imagine. Okay. Well, I don't know. In theory, it sounded really great. You can do different trees and stuff like that. Basically, these coins that you collect for doing the right thing. That must have been a message from the previous time. Because I did get it earlier for making it the 30 minutes, and I only had 10 coins there. So I didn't actually get awarded another 10 coins. But you can save up these coins and get different types of trees and everything. And ultimately, you'd end up with a really big forest. Some sort of incentive, I suppose.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just kind of a cute, I suppose, way to manage your time and not look at your phone, hopefully, if it works properly. There it is. It's Forrest. Check it out.
It's tying in our guilt over having the phone intrude in our lives so much with our guilt over deforestation and how we're ruining the environment.
I mean, duh.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys know that, like, Iceland chopped down all of their trees. Like, the Vikings went in and chopped them all down, and they had to plant new forests. And it's very funny because when you go there, there's, like, perfectly coiffed forests and, like, this perfect, you know, square whenever you drive around. It's quite fascinating.
Oh, wow.
Did they replace the chopped down trees with phones?
No.
No. So in the chat room, Bleak tells us that fubbing is the act of snubbing someone in real life by using your phone.
Oh,
so
okay.
Going back to our earlier conversation, so if we were in the middle of doing the show and then I just turned, I went, I'd be fubbing you.
Stop fubbing.
Fubbing.
So it has to gamify you to socialize with people? That's what I'm understanding.
If that's what it takes to get you to socialize with other people, then I suppose so.
I wouldn't Google it and look it on the Urban Dictionary, though. Different definition.
Yeah, I would not do that. Yeah.
Quite different.
Always a different definition on the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Urban Dictionary at your own peril, by the way. That is a minefield of inappropriateness.
So if you need help, you know, getting things done and peril of a tree dying is enough incentive for you, then you should do it. I like the idea of slowly over time you doing that and then you ending up with this like forest to show for it. Be like, yeah, that's like,
look at this,
that's like 10 hours.
Look
right
at this
there.
Virtual forest I grew that you can only see on my phone, which represents the amount of work I got done this week.
I envision a world that's greater than just a forest of trees that you look at. Mm-hmm. I envision a game that you can build up a universe.
Yeah.
Which
Why
doesn't
stop
make
the
sense,
trees? Right?
Because you're not using
anything.
You're committing yourself to not using your device, only to then sit down and play the game.
Right.
When you filled it up as payoff.
That actually reminds me. I got an email today.
There you go. That's kind of how it starts to look over time.
I got an email today. You remember Habit RPG?
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's kind of the reverse. It's a game, but out of getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got an email from them saying, "Hey, remember us?"
I see a theme growing here. I might have to get a third one of these.
There you go,
gamifying
productivity.
Yes, I like it
because doing your job and getting paid for it sometimes isn't enough.
It's just not enough. You need like 3-4 apps of gamification.
Yep. Listen, that's if right. I can't
this
game,
is the society
if I can't
we live in right
gamify
now.
This job, I don't want to do it. I'm sorry. I gamify things. That's what I do.
All right. So you can place your vote if you go to AAAPoll.com/222 and let your voice be heard. Do you like Crossroad, Alpha Bear, or Forest, Stay Focused? Or do you like all three, but you have to vote for one of them? You got to pick one. AAAPoll.com/222 and let your vote, place your vote, and we'll check in on it next week and see who won, who lost, and who was in the middle, basically.
We should give an award for the middle. Whoever comes in middle. Like, forget winner or loser. We're going to go for middle of the road.
Alpha Bear coming out.
Isn't it like first the worst, second the best?
Right, third is the one with the hairy chest, I believe is how it went, how the rest of that went.
Third is the golden bird or something like that. I don't know. Like, I got playground rhymes wrong.
I was going to say, on Long Island, we made fun of hair growth. I don't know why would you, but that's how it rhymes. First is the worst, second is the best, third is the one with the hairy chest.
I think that's the most important part.
In elementary school,
rhymes.
These are the things that were important on Long Island in the '80s.
Yeah. So. Well, that is it for this week. I'm getting another one of those calls on a million different devices. Let me.
Is very popular tonight, everyone.
With my dad. This is the second call tonight, so apparently I really got to talk to him. I'll give him a call after the show. Florence Ion, PC World. So awesome having you on the show once again. Thank you so much for coming back.
Hi.
You working on anything super awesome right now?
Oh, you're still talking to me. Sorry, I'm like waving. Right now we're all just kind of waiting.
You said bye-bye. That's all Brian needed.
Right now we're just kind of waiting to see what the heck is going on with this Note 5. I'm surprised you guys didn't just do a whole rumor show on the Note 5, honestly, because that's all there is. Just stay tuned to PC World Green Bar. I'm just going to be covering all the stuff coming out this summer or not coming out. Who knows?
Maybe someday
coming
out.
Listen, something's going to come out at some point.
In 2 weeks, we're going to have the OnePlus 2 to talk about.
Yes.
There's that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I'm very excited for the OnePlus 2, right? Yeah. Aren't we all very excited? Don't we love the OnePlus?
I did write my article went up yesterday, what OnePlus needs to do to get me to care about OnePlus.
And what is that?
Read my article.
good tease. There's the tease.
There's the tease.
Thank you, Florence. We'll have you back very soon. We appreciate it.
Yay.
Right on. Ron, cool. What about you?
Yeah, so you can go to about.me/RonXO. You can find links over to all my social media on Google+ and Instagram and Twitter and all that fun stuff. And if you dig comic books, you can go check out ifanboy.com. Every week I'm on that podcast talking about this week's in comic books world.
Awesome.
It's fun stuff. Yeah.
That's great, man. Brian, what about you?
Oh. At the moment, I feel a little trapped, but I'm coming to you from inside the computer, Jason.
Brian, I saw a little bit ago you playing around with that one camera.
It's totally
like,
not.
What is he doing?
Another one behind me.
So Brian, how much memory do you got in that sucker?
We got like 32K in here. So I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
We need infinite Brian. Cascading in that monitor behind
you.
So
you need to plug the monitor into the feed. That's how. Yeah,
that might overload not only the TriCaster, but the studio.
And most importantly, it would overload the console. The pet is not designed to do that.
It would just explode into flames.
It would.
But
when Brian comes back.
Oh. Hey, stop pushing my buttons. You're mad, man. What were you saying, Jason?
I don't even know.
When Brian returns to the show, he returns to the show big.
Yeah.
That's right. So I have Alex to thank for bringing up the pet because
thanks for bringing the pet
that was in the basement. And that thing, how much do you think that weighs?
Oh, you know.
It's like 200 pounds.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least 200 pounds. So he really flew up here with the pet. You can follow me at @cranky_hippo. I do this show, clearly, unless Zach, who does a great job filling in for me. Thursdays, No How with Padre. And how was Saturday, Jason? Because typically I TD that.
How was that?
Oh, you're talking about the new screensavers.
The new screensavers.
Where after you've done 9 episodes to get comfortable with the show, I just swooped in and did one show randomly, and it's like one of the most complicated shows that we do here. You're asking about that, is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. it was slightly stressful, but we got through it.
You got through it.
You do a lot with that show, so
yeah, it's a little confusing. Did you have a lot of post-it notes and stuff down
on
the
board? That's pretty much what I did. The entire TriCaster board was covered in Post-it notes. So,
I think Alex is about to shut me down. He's shut.
He's, okay, pseudo wait,
we,
shutdown.
We do have, wait, before you go away, Brian, we do have the we don't need Brian for this. I like how Wade County in the chat room commented on the front of the Commodore PET. It says computer, in case you weren't sure what it was. Commodore PET model 401S
this
computer.
This is not a calculator. This is,
this is what it was like in 1982, everyone.
Yeah? You had to label a computer as a computer.
Oh, I am a computer.
All right.
Pseudo shutdown.
All right, there we go. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. You can find my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. You can find my other Android show at twit.tv/arena. Doing a couple of episodes. I'm actually not going to be here next week.
You're not. You're bailing on
so
me.
So I'm doing a couple of episodes of that this week, and you'll get an episode of that next week. And then you are going to be here next week.
I will be in the driver's seat. I will be running the show.
As they say.
Yeah, because that's not stressful at all.
You're going to do great.
Jason does so much for the show. Everyone needs to know how important Jason is to the All About Android machine. And when he decides to, I don't know, go on a vacation, then that ups my – that takes a year off my life every vacation you take. But it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sorry. I only go on a couple of
– No, I know. I'm kidding. You deserve it. You deserve it.
I'll get you set up. I'll make sure you're all set up and good. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching. Thank you also for leaving us voicemails and all of your feedback. 347-SHOW-AAA if you want to do that. AAA@twit.tv if you want to send us an email or a link to a video mail. We're on Twitter @AndroidShow. We're on Reddit. We're twitaaa.reddit.com. We've got an amazing Google Plus community. Super active. I love it. Just search for it. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. Also past episodes on YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific. At twit.tv, look for the live button and click it. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, you guys.